We are continuing in 1 Thessalonians. This will be our third week. We're in the end of the second and the third chapter. And it looks like I will continue preaching through this book until we reach the end. Today's message is entitled, Finding Strength. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. If you don't have your Bible with you, just open your Bible app. I'm sure you all have a Bible app. They're free, and there's many that are available. If you don't have one, I encourage you to download them, but not now. Finding strength. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in the 17th verse. But, brothers and sisters, when we are torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, or not in our hearts, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you face to face. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did. Again and again. But Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and to encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless or our labor may have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and your love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again face to face, and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, he closes in prayer, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts, so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones, or with all the saints. The word of God for the people of God. Yes, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired, inerrant word. We thank you for the lessons it teaches us, the way it convicts us, Lord, and the way it shows us the way to walk. We pray for an anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see what you desire to reveal about yourself and ourselves. Do not let this preacher get in your way. Let it be your message. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to start with an email our bishop sent out a few days ago. I think some of you may have received it. I'd like to share it with you because it speaks to our current conditions. Dear friends in Christ, in our nation, wildfires burn in California. powerful hurricane swept through the Caribbean and came ashore on the Gulf Coast of Louisiana and Texas. Racial issues continue as a police officer shot another African-American, Jacob Blake, which gave rise to new demonstrations and even riots and a white teenager killing protesters. A presidential campaign is driving wedges in communities, homes, and even the church, and more than 180,000 people have died from COVID-19. Our pain deepens, our anger burns, and our fear increases. Some describe these times through the end times in the book of Revelation, and others call from other texts from the prophets to let justice roll down like water, and others, like Jesus, weep over the city of Jerusalem. Where is the good news of Jesus Christ? Where is the God news? AMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief, was planning and mobilizing for hurricane relief even before the hurricane rolled ashore. United Methodist churches in the western jurisdiction of our nation are sheltering and caring for those affected by the fires. A Greater New Jersey team working with more than 100 leaders have created a plan called A Journey of Hope to integrate our mission and the work of ending the sin of racism in Greater New Jersey and working to create greater inclusion in all of our churches. Greater New Jersey churches are distributing 20,000 meals a month to people who have been affected by the economic crisis caused by COVID-19. Greater New Jersey has said that in the midst of our differences, we will find a way forward together, and that we may not think alike, yet we will love alike. The good news doesn't quiet the bad news, but it helps us find a way through the bad news. The good news is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. The good news is hope that fuels justice, faces into the stiff winds, sees people as people and not as their political affiliations, undertakes the hard work to end the sin of racism, and finds a way forward when others cannot find a way. Friends in Christ, we live for another day, but in this day we mourn with those who have lost, we walk with those who experience injustice, we help those who are hurt, and we love those who feel unloved. I call each of you to be bearers of the good news and to pray for the healing of our land. I call upon you in these most difficult economic times to give generously when the storms of life rage, to work, to understand one another, and to learn about inclusion and equity, to stand up against racism, and to stand with those who are victims of hate, storms, fires, and pandemics. Let us all this weekend pray for our nation and the people around the world. Keep the faith. Bishop John Scholl, United Methodist of Greater New Jersey. Yes, these times call for strength. As I read through the Bible and the pages of human history, I find few periods when this wasn't true. You might find a generation in a particular time and place where peace, full peace, shalom peace, was prominent. But those times are the exception and not the rule. Many of us are of an age where we look back a generation with nostalgia. This is a somewhat misguided viewpoint, as they were also the times of the sexual revolution and wars and civil unrest. We point to those days and celebrate how much healthier our churches appeared to be. But I want you to hear what the popular preacher A.W. Tozer said about those times. It is my judgment that too many of us go to church on Sunday for the same reason that a child climbs into its mother's arms after a fall or a bump in fright. The child wants consolation. We have fallen upon times when religion is mostly for consolation. We want to relax and have the great God Almighty pat our heads and comfort us with peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul. This has become religion. According to my Bible, there should be a people of God, a people called of God and subjected to a spiritual experience of God. Then they are to learn to walk in the way of truth and the way of Scripture, producing the righteous fruit of the child of God, no matter what the world conditions may be. But there is a great misunderstanding among us. Too many tend to think that we get the flower and the fragrance and the fruit of the Spirit by some kind of magical shortcut instead of by cultivation. Meanwhile, our neighbors are waiting to see the likeness of Christ in our daily lives. But here I stand before you today, wanting to console you and to explain to you how to find strength according to our present scripture. The key issue is that it is not a passive desire to be kept safe, but an active strength. This strength is found in hope. This strength is sustained in joy. This strength grows in the exercising of our faith. All this is possible through a framework of fellowship. Do not be naive about the reality of what is going on in our society. The devil is at work. Paul says that Satan hindered or stopped us. Paul says that he feared that the tempter had led the Thessalonians to abandon their newfound faith. There was no doubt in Paul's mind that the enemy openly opposed the kingdom effort to plant churches and to bring people to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus. He had experienced this opposition firsthand. Prior to planting the church in Thessalonica, Paul and Silas planted a house church in Philippi. That's why we have the book of Philippians, the letter of Philippians. When Paul cast a future-telling demon out of a slave girl, her owners were outraged. And the book of Acts tells us the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. A couple days later, upon being escorted out of Philippi, they went to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. Some responded positively to the good news, the gospel, and the church was established. But some did not. Again, from the book of Acts. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. Sound familiar? They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city official, shouting, "These men have caused trouble all over the world and have now come to us. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. And from there, they went to Berea. The Bereans are described as more noble because of their belief and their daily searching of the scriptures. But the troublemakers in Thessalonica followed Paul and Silas and Timothy to Berea. They agitated the crowds and stirred them up. And that is how Paul, Silas, and Timothy ended up in Athens, from where this encouraging letter is sent. Paul didn't want the Thessalonians to be discouraged by the trials and persecution. He's like, remember when I was with you and I taught you that following Jesus is not easy. Affliction is to be expected. Now, ostensibly, it was people that persecuted them, but those people were instruments of Satan, who opposes God and anything that builds the kingdom of God. I love what Warren Wiersbe says. The trials and testings that come into the lives as Christians are not accidents, they are appointments. Faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. God tries our faith not to destroy it, but to develop it. 5 times in today's scripture, Paul mentions the Thessalonians' faith. Now, it may seem that this is circular logic, but their faith gives them strength, and their strength upholds their faith. The same can be said about the elements that constitute their faith: joy, hope, love, and fellowship. Think about it like this. I'm learning to play the baritone ukulele. I started at the beginning of July. And the more I practice, the more I enjoy it. And the more I enjoy it, the more eager I am to practice and become more skilled. So, it is not circular logic, but perfectly reasonable to say our faith gives us strength, and that strength enables us to live out our faith. Now, in the past 2 weeks, we have established that they are a spiritual family. Paul and Silas and Timothy and the Thessalonians. The relationship is spoken of in terms of brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers. Even though they are physically separated, Paul assures them that they are still together in heart. Notice the intensity of Paul's expression of longing for them. At the end of chapter 2, he says they endeavored more eagerly and with great desire to see them face to face. At the end of chapter 3, this strong sentiment is repeated. We pray most earnestly, night and day, to see you face to face. Now, in the middle is a report of Timothy, how both the fledgling church and the church planters mutually long to see each other. That feeling of connection and the good news that the Thessalonians continue in their faith and love is sustaining Paul and friends in their distress and afflictions. In other words, they are being strengthened by the knowledge and experience of fellowship. Now, the New International Version omits the phrase face-to-face, while the majority of the major English translations include it. I believe it expresses a more personal and intimate seeing, a closer bond. And with our current pandemic measures, it just jumps off the page at me. The question of whether churches should be meeting in person or not is a hot topic. There are many Christians on both sides of the argument. Churches are being fined by state authorities, and the churches are going to court to fight against the restrictions. In this scripture, we cannot miss the criticality of fellowship. This is why I see the enemy involved in this pandemic. Even when we gather like we are doing, we don't see each other face to face because of masks. Now, I try to keep a mask in my car, in my house, and in my church office so that I always have one with me. And I also try to respect those in authority over me and follow the safe distancing guidelines. But as I wrestled with this scripture this week, maybe it's time to move some of those secular boundaries. This feeling of fellowship produces a joy, even in trials and tribulations. Paul clearly calls the Thessalonians his joy, and he feels joy on their behalf before God. Being thankful to God contributes to our strength. It orients our thinking rightly. All good gifts come from our Heavenly Father. There is a correlation between gratitude and joy. What is the basis of their hope? At the end of chapter 2 and chapter 3, the second coming, the return of Jesus is lifted up. As a matter of fact, Jesus' return is mentioned in all 5 chapters of this letter. Here in chapter 3, we are told Jesus will come with all his saints. This is the Big C church, made up of the communion of all Christians. Yes, I remind you again that Christians are called saints repeatedly in Scripture. It's not just a select few, but all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are referred to as saints, something we need to live into. And this sainthood certainly overlaps the fellowship theme. In the trials, tribulations, afflictions, distress, and persecution, we have the strength to keep our heads lifted up. Your hope will keep your focus on the heavens and not on the fires and the dire forecasts. Look up, because the angels promised that Jesus would return the way he ascended to the right hand of the Father on the clouds. And Jesus himself promised in Matthew 24, "Then will appear in the heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and he will gather his elect from all the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." The words of Christ. Timothy, as a co-worker in the gospel of Christ, was sent to establish, to strengthen, and to exhort the Thessalonians in their faith. So, faithful pastoral leadership strengthens the foundations of the believers, but more than that, it beckons them towards growth. In these verses, Paul commends the Thessalonians for their love. In the closing verses, we find this intense prayer of Paul on behalf of his beloved spiritual children. "May the Lord make you increase and abound and overflow in love for one another and for all," or for everyone else. Not just our brothers and sisters in the faith, but for our neighbors, for our co-workers, even for our enemies. This is an active supernatural love whose source is God, for God is love. Love conquers all things, even hate, even persecution. The result of this love are hearts that are blameless and holy, not before some arbitrary human standard, but before God our Father. Do not miss that this prayer caps this chapter of compassion and care for the Thessalonians. Prayer is key. Paul says that they are praying continuously and they are pouring themselves out on behalf of their spiritual children. Why? To supply whatever happens to be lacking in their faith. For each of us, it might be a different lack, but earnest and constant prayer will strengthen us. Jesus told his disciples in John 16, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In Paul's day, he made it very clear to expect temptation and opposition from Satan. This has never changed. When we look at our current culture, we cannot miss the truth that the things of God are under attack. We live in a fallen and broken world. Much of the evil that is perpetrated does not directly target Christians, but all suffer because of it. The existence of evil and suffering in the world is used by some atheists as an excuse for denying the existence of God. And some Christians, through the work of the tempter, lose their faith after experiencing a tragedy in their family. King Solomon wrote for us, "A cord of three strands is not easily broken." Our connection to God is a strong cord. It is made up of faith, hope, and love. We have faith and trust in the saving work of Jesus on the cross. We have the hope in Jesus' second coming. We have a love of God, a love in Christian fellowship, and a love for all. There is a protective sheath around the strong cord of connection, and we call that prayer. A faithful leader teaches us and exhorts us to maintain the strong connection to God. Where are you finding your strength? The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Today, right now, make sure you are fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will strengthen you. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Holy and perfect Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone. The God, the Holy Spirit, is within each of us believers, and that you have given us your sacred word. Lord, it is for a day and a time like this that you need people of faith to stand up and proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the Holy Spirit to empower us to do that, that we would not have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and a spirit of power, not for our glory, but for the glory of God Almighty. I pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen.